Hey everyone, it's Russell Holloman with the Trio Podcast. Just want to let you know I promised everybody an all-Trio podcast this week. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. That's the short story. Long story is, and I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but my oldest son has gone into the hospital to have his tonsils removed, and of course my wife is up there with him, so I am at home babysitting my youngest boy, Thomas, who is 9 months. And if any of you have children, you probably understand that there is no way I'm going to get 3 or 4 solid hours in front of my computer to do a scripted trio podcast. Not to mention the couple hours I'm going to need to script it, because you can't really do a technical how-to podcast off the cuff. So anyway, I apologize. I'm just going to go ahead and do a regular old trio podcast, a bachelor edition trio podcast for this week, and hopefully we can get the how-to one done after Charles returns. Anyway, I hope you understand, and now on with the show. Hello, you've reached the Trio Podcast. My name is Russell Holloman, mobilepodcast.org. Podcasting from the palm of my hand.
The final annihilation of the life form known as man.
Let's plug it in. It's going to say, hey, I see you've plugged in a new device. And it's going to load in the appropriate drivers. You'll notice that this scanner build... Whoa. Moving
that
right
must,
along.
That must be why we're not shipping Windows 98.
Absolutely.
Yet.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What do you mean invalid parameters? 9,000 gigs of RAM and it can't answer a simple question.
Oh, drat these computers. They're so naughty and so complex. I could pinch them.
The information is not complete.
You call this a supercomputer?
Mom, caught and shot at the America Online again!
And welcome. Today is Tuesday, December 21st, and I thank you for listening to my Trio Podcast. It's been a very interesting morning. As you heard, I am home alone with my 9-month-old, Thomas, and we're just kicking back. Having a whole lot of fun. It's interesting spending time with a 9-month-old. It's very difficult to communicate. But he and I kind of have this universal bond that we kind of operate on the same wavelength. Basically, Thomas is my eating buddy. That boy can eat, let me tell you. So we've been kind of just munching out all morning long. And I don't know. My first boy wasn't like this at all. Maybe my first boy's weird and Thomas is like every other 9-month-old. But he doesn't do baby food anymore. And try as she might, he won't take a bottle from my wife anymore. He's just seriously into food, and his favorite food these days is Swiss steak and mashed potatoes. Now, I've had Swiss steak before, and what my wife calls Swiss steak is not what I know to be Swiss steak, but I don't argue with her. Basically, it's a roast. She puts a roast in a big roasting pan with a bunch of carrots and onions and cooks it for a very long time till it's just fallen apart tender, and she calls that Swiss steak. And it's good. I don't really care what you call it, but... it's absolutely hysterical. Thomas just sits there with both fists going, one in the mashed potatoes and one in the roast, and just shovels it in as fast as he can go. And, of course, I'm cheering him on. I'm right there with him. So we had Swiss steak and mashed potatoes for breakfast, and we'll probably have it for lunch, too. But, anyway, so we're hanging around the house. We're batching it, just two guys hanging out for a couple days, no women around. We call it batching. I know different families call it different things. But in the Holloman family, we call it batching. And it's a very time-honored tradition handed down from father to son over the many generations. Pardon me. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to get rid of this damn cold. Anyway, so it's a time-honored tradition, and it's really gotten, I don't want to say complicated over the years, but certainly the point system has gotten a little complicated. I pretty much have to keep my manual handy. But in our family, batching it operates on a reverse point system. Now, it's very similar to a demerit system. And we actually, for a very, very long time, used to call them demerits. But at the family reunion a couple years ago, we all decided that demerit really was, well, you know, it was too negative. It really kind of hurt people's self-esteem. So we just decided to rename the whole system a reverse point system. And, I mean, you know, it's a little complicated, but it's pretty easy to follow. I mean, it breaks down pretty well. Basically, what happens is you start with 100 points for a week, okay? And if it's going to be less than a week, you can kind of prorate that out if you want to, but we generally just go with 100 points a week or less. It's got to be more than 2 days, though, because if you're home alone for less than 2 days, that's not really batching it. That's just your wife is out on a bender. So, you know, that doesn't really count. But for batching it, you start with 100 points, and then you deduct points as you go along throughout the day. For instance, every utensil you use is minus 2 points. Now, if you reuse the same utensil, you don't incur another 2 points off. However, if you run the dishwasher and then use that same utensil, yes, you do lose 2 points. So, you know, you kind of use the same fork all week. Just rinse it off or whatever. Plates, bowls, pans, etc., those are minus 5 unless they require the use of a scouring pad to clean them, and then they're minus 10. With one exception, no points are deducted whatsoever if a barbecue grill is involved. So, you know, we're going to grill tomorrow. But clothing, too. For every article of clothing that you wear, you get minus 5 points. If you wear an article of clothing that requires ironing after you wash it, that's minus 10. But if you take it to the dry cleaners and you retrieve it before your wife comes home, you get 5 points back. So, you know, that's not so bad, I guess. Anyway, the way the whole system works out, you could actually, if you cooked your entire breakfast in a single pan, in my case, a number 10 iron skillet, which, by the way, is the holy grail for batching it, is a number 10 iron skillet, because it's awesome. No matter what you do to a number 10 iron skillet, all you do is rinse it off and wipe it, and you call it seasoned. Doesn't matter what's in there, you don't scrub the thing, you just call it seasoned, and you put it back and you use it again tomorrow. So if you cook your entire breakfast in a single pan and then eat it out of that same pan using the spatula that you used to cook it in the first place, then you're only down 12 points after breakfast, and that's pretty good. Now, there are some Hollimans that'll shave 5 points off of that. But I like bacon with my breakfast, and I never fry naked. So I just go ahead and take the 12-point hickey. What else do you get points for? Oh, answering your home telephone, okay, is an automatic minus 20 points. Because it's never for you. It's always one of your wife's girlfriends, and they know that your wife is out. So they're really just checking up on you. So no matter what, it's 20 points if you answer that phone. Now, if you don't answer the phone and it's your wife calling, all right, you get minus 65 points. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing. If it's your wife and you don't answer it, it's minus 65 points. But if you do answer it, you still lose the 20 points. And I know that gets a little confusing, but if it's your wife and you lose the 20 points, you can make up those points based on your conversation. For instance, when she asks you what you're doing, if you tell her things like, you know, I'm fixing the gutters that you've been asking me to fix for weeks. Okay, you get 2 points for that. Anything involved with education and the boys, that's 8 points right there. So you tell her you're playing that Latin word game puzzle with Thomas, 8 points right there. Okay. But it's a little trickier than it sounds. It really is, because you got to be careful not to underdo it, and you got to be careful not to overdo it. Because if she doesn't believe what you're saying, she's going to call back soon, and then you lose 20 points again. So you really, it's kind of a fine line you got to walk. Not to mention the fact that if you overdo it and you tell her that you're finishing out the garage, you got to fucking finish out the garage. So you got to be real careful. Which, by the way, finishing out the garage gives you 50 points. But try and do that and watch a 9-month-old. It just doesn't happen. So anyway, that's the reverse point batching system that that my father taught to me, that his father taught to him, and that I am, for the next couple of days, teaching to my youngest son, Thomas. And some days, you know, I'm sure I'll be able to teach it to Charles as well. I'm told he's in the hospital, and he's checked in, and they're ready to go. And, you know, I didn't know this, but apparently it's only going to take like 30 minutes to get his tonsils out. And then he'll go to recovery for an hour or two, and then they'll put him in his room. And he may come back tomorrow, although they doubt it, but he could. So, I thought that was interesting. I thought tonsils took longer than that, but I guess not. I'm real interested to see what kind of little scar he's got. But anyway, all right, enough about that. Let's move on. I wanted to give a Jay Leno update. Jay Leno is still not returning my calls. But it's actually gotten worse than that, because I'm no longer Russell. I'm now Mr. Holloman, and he's no longer Jay. He's now Mr. Leno, which really kind of pisses me off. I mean, I call, and now all I get is, Mr. Holloman, I'm sorry, Mr. Leno's not able to take your call right now. Please call back later. And yet, in spite of all of that, he still continues to taunt me, and it's really starting to tick me off. I mean, it's... You know, it's very Osama bin Laden-esque of him to just keep airing these tapes, just taunting me and taunting me. And yes, as a matter of fact, it has happened again. Here's a little clip from my Trio podcast on I believe the 14th. I came across an interesting little article tonight. Apparently, George Michael and Elton John are having a little tiff. And if I had a cat sound effect, I'd play it right now, because this is turning into quite the cat fight. Apparently Elton John was quoted last month as saying that Michael was in a quote strange place with a deep-rooted unhappiness that came across in his latest album. And of course here's Jay's little bit from his monologue on the 17th.
And George Michael and Elton John are feuding. You know about this? Oh. Well, Elton John said some negative things about George Michael's new album.
Okay, now I know what you're thinking. You know, this was just a news article that was put out on the wire. Anybody could have picked up on it, and the joke wasn't really that original. Just a coincidence. I heard it after the last time this happened. I got all your emails, and I understand what you're saying. But look at the timeline. That's the key. I made mention of this news story in my podcast on the 14th. Now, Jay Leno is usually very good about making jokes the day the article comes out. Because, as you'll find out, you know, later in my podcast, jokes about old news aren't funny. But he's usually very good and very timely with his jokes. However, he didn't make his joke until the 17th. Now, the 14th is when my ISP shut me down. And my podcasts were not being fed. And the 17th is when mobilepodcast.org came back up. Coincidence? I don't know. Especially when you put all that on top of the history that Jay and I have. I actually saved his life once. I did. This was way back in the day. We used to do a lot of rappelling, and Jay. Yeah, he's a really funny guy, but he's very clumsy, and he lost his footing, and his chin got caught up in the ropes, and he was just kind of dangling there, ready to fall at any moment. And me, with my exceptional prowess and near superhuman strength, I saved his life. And, you know, for a long time he was grateful, and then, I really kind of got the feeling he was a little resentful after a while. I mean, you know, he'd kind of get a little irritated because I'd bring it up all the time. And, you know, that one time I kind of guilted him into co-signing that loan. So, anyway, there is a history here. And I think this is just his little juvenile way of getting back at me. That's all I'm saying. So, we'll just stay tuned. And we'll see what happens. Okay. Speaking of bad jokes about news, let's move on to the News You Can Lose segment. I usually start this off with a little synopsis of the front page of the Houston Chronicle, our local hometown newspaper. Actually, before I do that, you'll never guess what came with my Houston Chronicle this morning. That's right, an AOL 9.0 CD. As if I'm not getting enough of these in the mail. They had to include one with my newspaper. And it really kind of surprised me, because it wasn't just shoved in with the newspaper. My newspaper this morning was delivered in a plastic bag, ostensibly because of the rain, you would think, right? But this plastic bag, the CD is actually kind of sewn into the plastic. It's sewn into the layer of the plastic. And contained in a very heavy-duty CD case. And the rest of the plastic bag is all printed with AOL advertisements. So, it must have been a particularly busy news day for the Houston Chronicle. They didn't have enough room for their ads, so they had to put them on the bag. But, I'm not an AOL customer, but if I was, I would be seriously pissed off at this. Because here I am paying $25 a month for dial-up access, and this is where my money's going. The Houston Chronicle and the post office, actually. Interestingly enough, I was in the post office the other day, and right there on the counter is a whole big thing of AOL CDs for you to take. And I don't understand how a commercial company like that got into a federal establishment. I wonder if anybody can do that. But anyway, so I got an AOL CD with my newspaper this morning. So instead of one totally worthless rag, I got two. So, front page of the Houston Chronicle. Bush looks ahead, defends Rumsfeld. Ooh, big shock, right? FBI files reveal abuse of prisoners in Iraq and detainees in Guantanamo. Guantanamo. That one just doesn't roll off my tongue, I'm sorry. Another shock. Iraqi Prime Minister says insurgents are trying to start a civil war. And, of course, this is my personal favorite. LNG ship attack, a potential disaster. So, today's edition of the Houston Chronicle is brought to you by the You Don't Say. Give me a break. One interesting thing on the front page, there's a gentleman here in Texas that has been released from prison after 16 years. He was wrongly... he was wrongly convicted of committing a rape, and later DNA tests revealed that he could not have committed the rape, and so he's been released from prison. Now, what would suck more? Being in prison for a crime you didn't commit, and then getting released. Or having your DNA exonerate you in April of 2003, but not getting out of jail until December 2004. I mean, talk about just adding salt to the wound. It's kind of remarkable. And it makes a very good case for eliminating the death penalty. Because if this had been a death penalty case, he'd probably be dead by now. And you really got to wonder what the holdup was there. Certainly that's worth another couple million on his lawsuit. Not much else on the front page. Stuff about some... Houston Cougar students who received posthumous degrees, couple of Rice grads found the security flaw in the Google desktop search engine. That's kind of cool. Rice, for those of you who don't know, is a very prestigious college here in Houston, right in the heart of Houston, down by the medical center. Very prestigious college. Of all of the colleges that I did attend, that was not one of them. After you jump out of your third or fourth college, Rice just doesn't even really look at you. But great school. And apparently these two kids hit it big. And, of course, lastly, they're talking about winter. It's currently about 70 degrees here in Houston and raining, which is odd for winter. Not really. I mean, it's a normal Houston winter. It's probably odd to a lot of people out there listening. Tomorrow, it's supposed to be 70 degrees and raining. And then we're supposed to go down to 20. And they are still predicting, at least now they're committing to sleet on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And they're still saying that we could possibly get some snow. So, the snow watch in Houston for Christmas is not quite dead. Anyway, that's enough of the Houston Chronicle. We'll move on to some more wacky national news. Jay, grab your pencil, because here we go. I saw this article come across. It was it said that the WWF has released their list of 10 things not to buy for Christmas. Not to buy. And I had to read this article because I'm thinking, you know, what is the World Wrestling Federation telling people not to buy for Christmas? And as it turns out, WWF, which I never even found out what it stood for in this context, is some sort of nature protection group. So, oh well. But anyway, the WWF, among other things, is trying to get people not to buy coral jewelry, beluga caviar, tiger products, or tigers for pets. And that's one line, I guess, because it's both tiger-related. There's actually a lot of people who have tigers for pets in Texas. And interestingly enough, there's a lot of them close to Houston. Right outside the Houston metropolitan area, it's not that uncommon. I mean, it's not like everybody has a tiger, but it is legal, and some people do have some weird exotic animals. Now, this is interesting. They ask people not to buy high fashion chatouche scarves woven from the hair of Tibetan antelopes. I guess you know, they're free range antelopes. They don't get haircuts. I don't really understand the big deal there, unless they kill the whole antelope just for the hair. That would kind of suck. And finally, the WWF advised shoppers to avoid buying appliances like televisions and stereos that consume large amounts of electricity while on standby. So, pardon me, this is actually very good news for the Holloman household, because I got all my relatives those little, those really cute little spotted owl keychains, you know. And it's cool, because I can now give them out and nobody can get mad at me. Another interesting article here. French school restores pagan Christmas tree. Apparently, the French school removed a Christmas tree because of its relationship to, I guess, you know, Christmas. But then later determined that it wasn't a symbol of Christmas, but it was in fact a pagan symbol, and therefore did not violate the official separation of church and state. So, as long as your Christmas tree is considered pagan, you can put it in your school. Isn't paganism some sort of religion? I mean, I've heard people say the pagan religion, although maybe they were misspeaking, I don't know, but I don't know, that's just weird. Oh, that was really disgusting, I apologize. I just can't get rid of this cold. Alright, so we'll just go ahead and cut this short before I just, you know, really snot into the mic. Let's see, Bush monkey image on giant billboard, a portrait of President George W. Bush using monkeys to form his image, which was banished from a New York art show last week, has been projected on a giant billboard in Manhattan. And all I can say is to you people there in Manhattan that are doing this, what class, really? You know, really? You know, why channel your energies into doing something that would actually be productive rather than sophomoric? Why try and accomplish something rather than you know, insult? Yeah, really, this is great. You know, as many jokes as everybody makes about Texans, this is kind of why people make jokes about New Yorkers. Just really classy there. And of course, this is coming from the state that elected the wrong John Kerry for president. yeah, AP reports today that the New York's 31 electoral college votes actually went to John L. Kerry. So, kind of funny there, people in New York. Anyway, I am going to wrap it up. Thomas's nap is just about over, and I've been talking way too long with this cold. So we'll just go ahead and end it now. You have been listening to the Trio Podcast. My name is Russell Holloman, coming to you from Houston, Texas. Come check us out at mobilepodcast.org. From my palm to your pod, nothing but net.